we can open up our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And not last night, but the night before, I could not go to sleep. Had to go to the prayer room at my home church, and anywhere from 1 to 3 a.m. in the morning, just praying for this church, praying for this service. And I felt God really drop this text into my spirit. I literally have hundreds of messages that I can preach to you, but I always try to find what the Spirit is saying and what the needs are. And I feel that this is going to help somebody. Really a word of direction for you that will help you. Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. If you have it, say amen. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fatted calf, and kill us, and let us eat and be merry. Last verse. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to talk about the climax of this text. And the climax of this text is found in verse 17. When he came to himself. I want to preach on this subject this morning. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of living like this. Why don't you lay your Bibles down one more time and lift up your hands unto heaven, and let's ask the Holy Ghost to bless and to touch and to minister. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your Spirit. God, I pray that you would help somebody here. I pray that you would encourage somebody here. Lord, let this word, Lord, be birthed in them, God. Help me to preach it how you want me to preach it. Say it how you want me to say it. In Jesus' name I pray. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? If you have expectation, why don't you clap your hands a little louder? If you believe that God is going to speak to you, why don't you lift up your voice for a moment? Come on. Come on. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord, and somebody lift up a shout of praise and hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say it with me. I'm tired of living like this. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When I began to pray and seek after the Lord of what to talk to you about, the Lord really just dropped into my spirit the power of thoughts and how thoughts are so powerful. They have the ability to change situations and to make bad situations good and make good situations bad. It's determined on a person's thought process. Thoughts are so powerful. John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And that Word was made flesh." That word in the Greek we know is logos, which means the plan or the thought. He said, "In the beginning was the thought was with God, and the thought was God." Verse 14 says, "And the thought was made flesh." Thoughts happen with the intention with it becoming flesh. When a thought comes into your mind, the whole purpose of it being there is for it to manifest itself in the physical realm. Amen. Thoughts aren't just there to think about and ponder on, because you and I know if we think on those thoughts long enough, sooner or later, those thoughts are going to find a way to manifest itself in our existence. I think about what those lawyers struggle with when they think about murder, and they try to determine if a homicide or a murder was premeditated or not. And if it was premeditated, the consequences are worse. But if it just was an involuntary manslaughter or an accident, the sentence isn't as bad. But if that person thought about it long enough, there's going to be consequences there's going to face, because those thoughts matriculated into the physical realm, which affected everyone around them. And they find if it was premeditated by monitoring the person's past actions. You're not hearing me yet. They will look at the blueprint and the trail on how that person lived his life over the past few days and weeks. And it'll look for clues in that man or woman's actions to see where their thoughts were. I'm telling you that we've got to be careful of what we think about, because what we think about will sooner or later manifest in our earthly existence. Amen. Thoughts are powerful. Amen. They come to manifest itself. When you think about it long enough, you think about it. You think about a person from your past, and you just start thinking about them all the time. What happens? All of a sudden, an opportunity shows up for you to meet them. Am I right? Come on, somebody. And you say, "I was just thinking about you." I know, because that thought will find a way to manifest itself into the physical realm. In Hebrews 11, he said that if those elders, if those people of faith, if they had been mindful of that country which they came out of, there might have been opportunity for them to return to the country which they came. What he's saying here is, if they'd have thought long enough on where they came from, there would have been opportunities that showed up for them to go back to where they came from. And how many of you know that's true? When you think about your past long enough, there's always going to be that perfect something that comes for you to go back and do what you used to do. Is this making sense to anybody? But what would happen if we started being mindful of the future and mindful of a miracle? And if I can get my thoughts filled with my future and my destiny and the glory of God, God is somehow gonna come down and manifest himself right where I am. Amen. It does not begin in your actions. It begins in your thought process. Am I helping anybody? Wave a hand if I'm helping you yet. I'm building somewhere. But I'm telling you, it's so powerful. In the Old Testament, I can't get away with this. I didn't want to say this, but I can't get away with this. It's just too good not to say amen. Think about when Jacob was running from his brother Esau. And when he was running from his brother Esau, the Bible says that he came. It was night and he came into a hard place and he was trying to escape from his brother and he would not build a fire because he's trying to hide from him. So he's in the dark and the Bible says in order for him to get comfortable at a dark place, he got a rock and he put his head on that rock and he used that rock as a pillow to go to sleep. And I know it just looks like finding a rock as a pillow, but you're not understanding what God is trying to tell us in this text, because the pillow was invented by the Mesopotamian culture, which was where Abraham came from. I'm about to preach real quick. And the rich people, the kings and the queens, in order to get comfortable in their bed, they invented just these rocks for them to lay their head on, but only wealthy people could afford those rocks. And Jacob thought about his grandfather Abraham coming out of the Mesopotamian culture, and he understood that he was in a hard place, and he understood that he was on the run for his life, and he didn't know if he was going to live another day. So he found him a rock, and he said, I know I don't have anywhere to live, but I might as well live like royalty. I'm going to lay my head on this rock because there's going to be a king that comes out of my loins one day. God is going to use me for his glory one day. And while he thought about that on that rock, he had a dream of the angels of the Lord ascending and descending on a ladder. And after he got up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And the Bible says that pillow, he turned into a pillar. And that pillow, I'm preaching to somebody, that pillar, he turned into an altar. But it started when he started thinking about where he was going instead of where he was. And if you can start thinking about where you're going, you'll be able to get to where you are. Hey man, those Mesopotamians, they invented the pillow and only royalty had it. And he's in a dark place, but he says, I'm still royalty. I don't look like much, but I'm thinking about where I'm going. And because he thought about it, God honored it with a vision. Woo! That Jesus referenced in the New Testament. I feel at home here. Amen. I feel good. Amen. Thoughts are powerful. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, God said, I'm giving you this promised land. That when they went to go and to possess the land, when they went to search out the land, the Bible says when they got there, they got the grapes, they saw the giants, or they saw the people, the children of Anak, and they came back and they said, we cannot conquer the land. There's giants in the land. And look what they said. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Can I tell you, they had the wrong perception of themselves before they got there. Their thoughts of themselves were already wrong. They thought of themselves as grasshoppers already. So when they went in to possess their promise, no matter how good the grapes looked, they were convinced that they could not do it. And they had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years because of how their thinking was. Jesus in the New Testament said, he said, if your eye be evil, if you have a diseased eye, he said, the body is defiled. But he said, if your eye be single or healthy, he said, the body will be full of light. And what Jesus was saying there is that your outlook on life is going to affect you. If you have a negative outlook, cynical, come on now, always find the negative out of the best situations. He said that the body's going to be defiled. That's evil thinking when you think that way. And when your thoughts are always negative, God could give you a miracle today, but you'll still find what went wrong in service. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. But when your eye is healthy and you have the positive outlook and biblical thoughts, no matter what hell that you're going through, you can still have a right mentality. Hey, you've got sickness in your body, I know, but God is going to heal me. Hey, your kids are backslidden, I know, but they're coming back home. Hey, it's not looking good, I know, but it's going to come out better, because if I can get my thoughts there. Amen. He said that the thoughts become your worldview. It becomes the lens that you see everything out of. When you get hurt, everybody you see after you're hurt, you're looking through a lens of hurt. Is that the truth? Where you start identifying character traits and say, I don't know if I want to be in a relationship or friendship with them because somebody hurt me that acted like them a long time ago. Right? Is that truth? But what would happen if we got that same, the lens became the positive, and you think about the people that have blessed you in the past. And no matter how bad that drug addict looks, when you use that positive lens, you can see a preacher in that drug addict. You can see a singer in that drug addict. And you're able to cultivate potential off of the thoughts that you think. Is that helping somebody? He said, woe unto you. This is crazy to me. He said, woe unto you when the light that is in you has become darkness. That's interesting to me, because what he's saying here is that the gospel, the Bible, this lifestyle, there's light in it. And when you come to it, you get that outlook of light, illumination. But he said, woe unto you if that light that's in you becomes darkness. In other words, someone can get into your ear and into your mind where what was once light to you, they affect your thoughts so much to where what was once your deliverance is now your prison. It was once light. I can't wait to hear the music. I can't wait to hear the preaching. I'm going to church today. But when you link up with the wrong person and they start speaking lies in your ears and start tearing down everything that you thought was light, now when you hear the singing, you're catching all the wrong chords. Oh, they missed the chord. I hate being here. Why did I have to get up here? They're wasting my time and picking out what's wrong with it. He said, woe unto you if the light that is in you becomes darkness. And it starts with how you are thinking. You've got to protect your thoughts and not let anybody... How many of y'all know that to be true? You bought a brand new, you saw, you heard about this amazing contraption that'll help your house or whatever. And you go and purchase it, spend $1,000, you get it home. And you're happy about this purchase. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to use this on the house. Let's do it. It was worth the sacrifice. But then little by little, person after person start coming up to you. Ooh, you got that? Yeah, isn't it awesome? Ooh. Let me tell you what happened to mine. Come on now. Mine quit working on me in 2 weeks. Yours not even going to survive a week in it. And you were once happy about it, but now somebody's convinced you that the price was not worth paying. Man, I feel like preaching this morning. And that can happen to every one of us when we lay down our lives for the gospel and we don't go places because we're trying to please Jesus and we're trying to dress and walk in a right light trying to please Jesus. But when we hear somebody else start saying how much of a prison we're in, those thoughts that were light now becomes full of darkness. Now we can't wait to leave. But you've got to have your mind girded about with truth. You've got to hold on to your mind and realize that this is the best thing that I've ever been a part of. This is full of light in my life. Hey man, the thoughts are powerful. It will show. If you notice, whenever I'm building somewhere, I'm going somewhere. I got a timer. Amen. 15 minutes. I've been preaching. Just give me a second. Amen. I'm almost halfway there. Amen. I got 2.5 more hours. We'll be good. Amen. Amen. But I'm trying to show you how powerful your thoughts are. Isn't it amazing that you can think on somebody on how they've wronged you? And you think about it so much that when you see that person, they're saying, hey, how are you doing? And man, you can't even get a smile on your face. You can't even get your fake one on soon enough. Because you're struggling for that thought not to manifest, right? But you think on it long enough, it will. It'll find a way. Might be a smart remark. Sarcasm. It's like, oh man, you're so funny. Man, I hate you, bro. I'm just kidding. Come on. You know that you're serious because the thought is looking for a way to manifest itself. You got to protect your thoughts because it's going to show up in your body. And that's what Jesus came to preach. He said, I'm not come to preach against the action alone of adultery. He said, I've come to preach that if you look on another woman to lust after her, that you've already committed adultery in your heart. So he came to take it a step further. He said, I've not just come to preach against the action. I've come to preach against the thoughts that are behind the action. And you've got to discipline your thoughts before you commit the action. Amen. He took it a step further. And that requires more discipline and the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, whatsoever things are pure, he said, think on these things. If you can think on these things, eventually the body is going to manifest these things. When I think about thoughts, I think about this text that I read to you about the prodigal son. I think about this father having his two sons and the younger one going to his father saying, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The young man, he could not wait for his father's inheritance. His father was living too long, so he was really saying, you need to hurry up and die. I need my inheritance. I'm tired of waiting on it. But he got his inheritance. But hear me, long before that son, that younger son, the prodigal, that would leave, long before he would approach his father, he thought about the world. He thought about wearing the world's clothes. He thought about dressing immodestly. He thought about entertaining the things of the world. But long before he ever came to his father and said, give me the goods that fall unto me, his thoughts were already out of the house. Before he left the house, his thoughts were already, watch this, spending the money before he got it. And how many of you know that's how tax returns are, and that's how your checks are that you receive? Before you ever get the check in your hand, you're already thinking about all the bills that it's going to pay. Am I right now? You ain't even filed your taxes yet, and you already thinking about the money that the tax, come on, it's already spent in your mind before you get it. And that prodigal son, before he got his goods, they were already spent before he got them. Oh, my word. He thought about the world so much while he was in the church, and he sat there and he clapped good and on beat, but his thoughts were in the world. He sat there. Oh, I'm helping somebody right now. He sat there and he knew when to smile, he knew when to say brother and sister, but his thoughts were already out there in the world looking for a chance to get big break out there in the world. And I'm preaching to people right now that you think more about what's out there than what's happening here. And I'm telling you, if you think about what's out there so long, there's gonna be opportunities that show up for you to go out there and stay out there. So you might as well start valuing what's here so you can stay here. Come on. And there is blessing here. There is anointing here. And there is power here. Can I tell you how we can go through the motions in church? It starts because our thoughts aren't here. And we can get up and do our thing and come to the altar and come and pray. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Because your thoughts weren't here today. Your thoughts were out there somewhere in the stratosphere. Thoughts out there thinking about what you're going to do next. And I know in Louisiana, you fight harder with your thoughts because of all the food that y'all eat in the afternoon. That's just too good of food. Amen. I'm praying for y'all because y'all need extra self-discipline to keep yourself from thinking about the food. Amen. The crawfish ate too fast. I better hold on now. The boudin, praise God. I gotta preach now. Hey, I'm trying to tell you that we've got to start making sure that our mind is engaged with the Lord. He said, I want you to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And even though you may be doing the right thing, I need your mind engaged so I can open up your understanding and give you an anointing you've been praying for. Hey man, before he got out of the house, his thoughts were already out of the house. The goods are already spent. The talent that he had in the house, he could not stop thinking about using the talent outside of the house in the world. And finally, he leaves, and the Bible says that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance. He thought that he would have this forever, but the Bible says not many days. Come on. This guy inherited so much, but when he went into the world spent it and didn't give anything back to him. He thought that the world was so good, but when he got there, he found out there's nothing good out there. He found out there's a lot of heartache out there. He found out there's a lot of stuff out there that I didn't have to fight when I was in here. And in here, I know you got to fight your own battles sometimes. But I promise you, I'd rather be one day in the presence of the Lord than to be 1,000 elsewhere. He said one day in the presence of God is better than almost 3 years in the world. Can I tell you, your worst day living for God is better than your best days living outside. Amen. You see in this text that the son, he had a messed up thought process. His thoughts were messed up. He went to all the places that he thought of while he was in church, while he was in the father's house. And when he goes, he just starts spending the money riotously, not even giving a care, because this is what I wanted to fulfill for myself. And when he spent all, everybody say he spent all. The Bible says there was a mighty famine, and he began to be in want. In other words, he began to have to start begging. He's begging in the world for to have some substance to keep him. And he joined himself unto a citizen. He joined himself unto a friend that he hoped would help him. But hear me, that friend took advantage of him because that citizen was a Gentile. And that Gentile, he said, you know what? You want to work for me? I know how to make money off of you. Why don't you go feed my pigs? Because I know Jews don't like that. And you think that you're so big and bad being a Jew. Well, I'm going to use your prestige. And I'm going to use you as a chosen vessel, right? Quote unquote. I'm going to use you to help me get wealth. I'm going to use you to help me be lifted up. And he joined somebody that he thought that would help him, but instead they spoiled him. Instead they took everything out of him, and he was so hungry, amen, that Gentile would come and bring that Jew in front of everybody. Hey, this is my Jew. He's working for me. He needs me, y'all. Isn't this the chosen generation people? Isn't this the people they said they're chosen by God? But look at them. They need me, and they're working for me. His thought process brought him on a downward spiral. And now as he's in that pig pen, and the Bible says that he's feeding the pigs, and those pigs are eating on the husk, and no man gave unto him. His thoughts are so tough, the Bible says, that he feigned. Everybody say he feigned. We don't use that word today, but that word fame means he set his heart upon. He began to desire and began to lust after the husk that the pigs were eating. Those pigs are in the mud. Oh, my word. Got mud in their snout, eating all of this nasty food. And he's looking at it, licking his lips. I can't wait to have that. I hope he drop off one so I can go after it. I'm so hungry right now. His stomach's growling. He's watching the pigs. No, leave that one for me. Leave that one for me. Are you kidding me? You were in the Father's house where there was blessings galore. You were in the Father's house where you had access into his presence. And now you're looking for crumbs in the world, barely getting by. And the Bible says as he set his heart on it and he thought about it so long, about lusting after just the husk, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, that word came, it means to move from one place to another. He said, he thought about it, and then all of a sudden, his circumstances forced him to start thinking of himself properly, and he started thinking, hold on, I was made for more than a pig pen. pen. I was made for more than barely getting by. And I'm sick and tired of living like this when God created me to possess more. Amen. His thoughts, how bad it got. His circumstances forced him to think properly. Come on. Sometimes there's going to be some situations that God sends into your life to make you start thinking properly of who he is and who you are. And sometimes the rug has to get pulled from under you to teach you that you are made for more, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are the power of God, that you are the apple of God's eye, that he did not just create you just to give you some mediocre existence, but he created you to live an abundant life. He created you to live an overcoming life, and it's not the will of God for you to be depressed all the time. It's not the will of God for you to hate getting up every morning. It's not the will of God for you to be tired all the time. It is the will of God for you to understand who you are, and you've got the anointing of God on the inside of you that will provoke you into the blessing and into. I've come to preach somebody out of the pig pen. I've come to preach somebody out of the pit and say it's time for you to start thinking about who you are and why God put you here. I wish somebody would clap their hands right now. Come on, somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, Jesus. He began to think properly of himself. He began to see that I'm made for more than this. My life is more than just living paycheck to paycheck. My life is more than having the financial stress on me every day. I was made for more than this. And he began to start thinking back on how it was in his father's house and all the stresses that he didn't have to put up with. He began to start thinking about the joys of his father holding his hand. He began to think about when he first learned how to walk with his father. He began to think about his father providing his every need. And as he thought about it, the Bible says, he said he came to himself. Can I preach to you? You've got to come to yourself before you come to yourself. I can preach on that for a moment. You've got to come to yourself mentally before you come to yourself physically. And once you get your mind right, then the body's gonna follow where the mind is. Come on. If you think. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. If you can get the right perception of yourself, your body's going to start saying, you are made for more than putting up with this abusive relationship. You are made for more than putting up being treated like that. Come on, you got to start thinking that you're beautifully and wonderfully made. You've got to start thinking that God put you here for a reason. You've got to start thinking like Jeremiah said, like God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. He said, I knew you before you ever took your first breath. You were in my thoughts before you got here. You were in my thoughts before you were born. And it's time for you, your thoughts, to understand my thoughts. And when you understand my thoughts, you're going to understand you are ordained before the foundation of the world. I said you were on his mind before you got here physically.
He said that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve existed. And the thought of God was the salvation plan. You're not hearing me right now. I said you are already in God's mind before you got here. And he crafted you. He gave you your personality. He gave you your attributes. He gave you everything that you have now. And he said, I'm ordaining you for something. I put you in this earth to do something for me. Not for you to just barely get by. And when you think that nobody cares about you, you got to understand I cared about you before you got here. I cared about you before your mom and dad came together. I cared about you before your great, 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 great grandma got with your great, 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 great grandpa. I thought about you before this world ever existed. And if you only understood your value, you would get out of this pig pen. He thought about it. Circumstances have a way of forcing you to understand that you're made for more. His thoughts came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the Bible says he arose and came to his father. He got up in his thoughts before he got up in his body. In other words, you could still be in a bad situation. Just don't let your thoughts stay there. Let your thoughts arise. And even if you're in a pig pen now, even if you're in a tough circumstance now, let your thoughts be, I'm getting back up. And if you can think on that long enough, sooner or later, you're going to find all of a sudden some strength comes in your legs that you didn't have before. And I've been in this pig pen for a long time. I've been in this situation for a long time. But I just keep thinking I'm made for more. I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how, but I'm going to get out of this. I don't know when, but I'm going to get out of this. But somehow, God's going to help me get out of this. And he kept on thinking about how he was going to get out. And sooner, he didn't know, I'm just going to get out of this. I'm just going to get out of this. Everything is in a circumstance. Say, you better stay down. But his thoughts said, no, I'm getting out of this. I'm getting out of this. And all of a sudden, he found strength in his body. And he started towards his father's house. And when he started walking towards his father's house, hear me, he didn't have any money. He didn't have any money for transportation. He didn't have money for camels. He didn't have money for wagons. But he started walking in the right direction. And he said, I don't care what obstacles are before me. I've made up my mind and I'm going to my father's house. I don't need no transportation. Somehow I'm going to get there. And there's not a devil in hell that's going to keep me from going back to my place in God. I said, when you think right, you're going to find a way to get back. When you think right, you know, obstacle is too great. No valley too low. No mountain too high. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to my destiny. I'm going to get to my anointing. And nothing's going to keep me back. Everybody stand with me. He thought himself up. And he went to his father. And while he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the father restored him. And he said, my son was dead and is alive again. He said he was lost, but now he's found. Hear me right now. The Bible says that the son was found when nobody went searching for him. It's because he found himself. Nobody went searching for the younger son. They waited for him in the father's house. But he said he was lost, but now he's found. He found himself. And he's restored, and they began to be merry. I'm sick in my body, I know, but if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But you're sick and you're dealing with issues. I know that I'm dealing with stuff. But she said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. This whole text is about a thought process, that you've got to think your way into your deliverance. No matter what, I'm not talking about positive thinking here. I'm talking about Bible thinking. I'm talking about you. The Bible says meditating upon the scriptures. If you can see where God wants you, think upon it night and day with the intention of wanting to do right for God, there's going to be opportunities that come up for you to do right. But the problem is our thought process. Our thoughts have to give God the opportunity to do what he wants to do. Because it's tough to stuff a blessing into a closed mind. But if we can open up our thoughts to God and say, God, whatever you want to do, I'm ready when you are. I'm tired of living like this. I want to think properly. Help me to be open to understanding. Help me to be open to the miraculous. Help me to be open to healing. And his thought process changed and he was restored. The elder son, whenever he heard about it, obviously he was mad, because the Bible, the elder son, he had a thought process problem. And he was in the house, but he coveted so much of what his brother was experiencing that he did not think about what he already possessed. And he said, why have you slayed the fatted calf for my brother? You see what he's done. He was angry and he would not go into the house. He said, you never gave me a kid. You never did this for me. And I never transgressed any time. And he's devoured. You're living with harlots. And the father just looked at him and said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. In other words, you've got to change your thoughts. Stop looking at the blessing and what everybody else is getting, and start understanding what I've placed before you. And if you start thinking about what you already have, there's much more that comes with that. Come to tell you, when you're tired of living like this, your thoughts have to go and discover the potential of God and the destiny of God. And I know there are things that I've wanted to accomplish in my life, different disciplines, different things that I saw for when I first got the Holy Ghost, when I first got called to the ministry, and it hasn't happened. But I've noticed when I look back, like, hold on, I've came a long way. I'm getting closer, but I'm not there yet. Where I am, what God is doing in my life right now, let me show you how frustrating this could be. I saw what I'm doing now with my beautiful wife and my son I saw that, watch this, when God called me to the ministry 8 years ago, when I had a basketball in my hand. Now, is that frustrating? To think about preaching the gospel, to think about having a family, to think about living in the blessing of God, and you know where you're supposed to be, and here I am on a basketball court in college with a basketball in my hand. But my thoughts were here. And even though it would take a long time, all of a sudden, my feet. I gave up my college basketball scholarship. I gave up my NBA career. I gave it up. All of a sudden, my feet. So, teaching Bible studies, come youth leader. And I'm still a far way off. But because my thoughts were there, my body just started following. And I'm still far, but I'm going. And even now, I'm still not where I want to be in God. But I'm so hungry for it. I think about it every day. It gets me up in the morning. And I'm a far way off, but my thoughts just keep me. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there one day. I'm telling you, God will fuel you with those thoughts. Everybody come forward right now. Everyone come forward. I just want you to lift up your hands, and I just want you to get your thoughts on the Lord. Just make up your mind. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of the cycle. I'm tired of one thing after another with the family. I'm tired of one bill popping up and another. I'm just tired of it, God. And I'm ready to think, oh God. I'm ready to think my resurrection before my resurrection comes. Everybody lift up those hands unto the Lord. Come on and get your thoughts right. Make a decision. God, I'm going to start thinking positive. I'm going to start thinking the scriptures. I'm going to start thinking of my destiny. I'm going to start thinking of my calling. And I know sooner or later there's going to be opportunities that show up for me to engage in this thought process where these thoughts begin to manifest in the physical realm. That's it. Lift up those hands and close your eyes and open up your mouth to God. What do you see God doing in your life? Can you open up your mouth and confess that to God? Can you speak those things that are not as though they were? What do you see God doing in your family? What do you see God doing in your finances? What do you see God doing in your church? Can you close your eyes and lift up your hands and speak those things and prophesy to those things and open your mouth and tell God, God, I'm ready for it, Jesus. I know I'm in a pit pen right now, but God, I see what you're wanting to do in me, Jesus, and I'm gonna get there with whatever it takes. No mountains too high, no valleys too low. Nothing's gonna prevent me from getting there. Can you grab the person's hand next to you right now? Can you grab the person's hand next to you right now? Can you lift that hand up to the sky? And can you pray? Hallelujah. Can you pray over them? Can you pray for yourself? Can you pray? Come on, open up your mouth right now. Hey, come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, open up your mouth and pray. Come on, speak those things over them. Speak those things that are not as though they were.